I'm Harland, and this is my podcast. Welcome to another episode. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. What the hell is going on? I've been gone for a while. If you watched my last video, I mentioned how I went on vacation and then immediately got sick when I came home for like a week, and it was brutal. And so I'm back. I'm better than ever. Kinda. Every week I do one of these, there's just so much stuff that I could potentially talk about. This last week, we had the Gen Z stare, which I don't even know what it's supposed to be anymore, because initially, I guess it was like, people were saying that it's when you ask Gen Z a question and they just stare at you like they don't know what language you're speaking. But then Gen Z was saying that it's actually not, I don't even know anymore what the Gen Z stare is. I don't care anymore. It's a stupid, pointless, again, like trying to get this war between millennials and Gen Z to happen. And when we really got to come together, everybody, okay, the world is fucked right now. We can't have intergenerational civil wars happening on top of the civil war that's already going on. And then, what was the other thing? There's that photo of Trump's cankles from a, a soccer game or a football game or some sort of sports match. And then they came out immediately afterwards and said, it's just, he's just got bad veins. He's got a vein condition. V-A-I-N. And so people are speculating that it's probably congenital heart failure or kidney disease, which we can only hope, baby. And then also, what else happened? Coldplay accidentally outed a couple of cheaters. Well, one cheater, because I guess the lady was divorced. And the other guy was a CEO of a company called Astronomer. When I saw the headline, I thought that it was, I mistook it as it was an astronaut who had cheated at a Coldplay concert. Not that, totally different industry and career path. That all happened, and then the Epstein stuff, the Epstein file that did exist and now it doesn't, and now there's evidence that Trump drew some titties on a cocktail napkin or something that's addressed to Epstein. So much stuff happening. If I was recording this about 5 years ago, this would be a cold beer. And it would be extremely necessary for everything that's been going on since I've been away. How does that sound on audio? Does that sound good? A little glug, glug, glug. A little chug, chug, jug sound effect. So I didn't want to talk about any of that stuff this week because there was something else. It's, well, how do you choose? How do you choose what thing to talk about? What horrible, awful thing to talk about? Which I'm learning that's what this podcast is just me talking about horrible, awful things that happen in the world. But not always. The thing I took notes on and wanted to talk about was, what does the word performative mean anymore? I feel like it's lost all meaning in the discourse because it's getting thrown around really fucking loosely now. And the most recent thing was, I don't know if anybody saw it. I'll put it on the screen for all the people that are watching this on YouTube. The Brooklyn line cook. Is anybody familiar with this guy? I don't know how I ended up on that side of the internet, but there's a line cook in Brooklyn who started making content just showing off his the family meals that are prepared before service. And they're relatively boring. There's not much to them, you know? It's just literally him showing you random pieces of food that the restaurant he works at has that he's eating, and then the kind of cigarettes he's smoking and the kind of coffee he's drinking, and it's all in quarts, right? The plastic quart jugs. And he's always got a Sharpie in his collar, and unremarkable to me. But for whatever reason, people online started calling him performative and commenting shit like, oh, when I watched The Bear one time, and that he's like cosplaying as a chef. But like, he is a line cook. Like, the Sharpie is not an accessory. It's a thing he needs to write on the little pieces of masking tape all day. And that's literally what those guys look like. I don't understand. You know, more people need to work fucking service jobs, dude. Whether it's retail, whether it's in a restaurant, even in a cafe. I'll take that at this point, man. Because a lot of you have no fucking idea about, like, work culture in service jobs and the kinds of people that each sort of category attracts. Like, I've never worked on an actual line as a cook, but I've worked in restaurants or like upscale cafes that had restaurant food. I don't want to call it a full-on restaurant because it was a bakery too. And I worked with people just like that guy, with the Sharpie, with the apron, the smock, whatever it is, with those ugly comfort shoes. That doesn't sound right. Comfort shoes. It's like safety blanket. It's not the same. You know what I'm talking about. The non-slip shoes, the bandana over the head, the whole deal. I've worked with people like that, and they're just like that guy. Like, you guys need to get jobs. You need to work in service. One, just to, I mean, to meet people, more people that you normally wouldn't ever hang out with outside of that job. The amount of people that I've made friends with and worked alongside and become friends with who I had nothing in common were some of the most important, formative relationships I've ever had. And it's all because I worked at these places where it's a mishmash of different individuals and different personalities. You need to do that for that purpose, but also so that you all know how to treat these people when you go patron the places they work. Because maybe, I mean, the Gen Z stare thing, whether it's about asking a stupid question or not, how you react in that situation can be informed by working in that job. Getting asked stupid questions sucks, but man, is it character building. The amount of times I worked at a Cold Stone Creamery for a couple of years when I was like 17 or 18. Shout out to all the Cold Stone visor wearing song singing ice cream slingers out there. What's up? You're in a special club. But the amount of times that I got asked, so okay, they had, if you're not familiar with Cold Stone Creamery, they didn't have just like small, medium, large. It was like Starbucks, but more embarrassing. Where there were three sizes, but it was like it, love it, gotta have it. I just gotta have this cream. But deductive reasoning, if you don't understand words, you know, weird sizing, you would assume that the one in the middle is the middle, is the medium size, right? The amount of people that would come in and stare me dead in the eyes and then look at the sizing, because we had the three sizes out displayed, look at the sizing, look back at me, sizing me, and just go, which one's the medium? Brother. It's the one in the fucking middle. I don't care if it's called a love it. It's the one in the middle. Is it the big one? Why would it be the biggest one? This doesn't make any sense, you fucking idiot. Anyway, so I also think a lot of these people that were like criticizing this line cook were, it's like the only thing you know about the restaurant industry is from the show The Bear. Like, it's so embarrassing that that's where your knowledge base is coming from. I mean, like, they hired Maddie Matheson as a consultant on the show, who also, I mean, he doesn't look like him physically, but he's got the same vibe and attitude as him. He's just covered in tattoos and he's much larger of a guy, right? But it's a similar vibe that they give off. Like, so it's not that he's pretending to, like, he's on the show. It's that the show is being influenced by that industry. Oh, God. And, I mean, the bigger problem, I think, again, like, not the bigger problem, but the reason this got so much, like, attention and became a thing was the internet, social media is like constantly gatekeeping authenticity, to the point that like I don't even know what's authentic anymore. Like, and I don't even give a shit about it either. I don't care if it's authentic or not. You're choosing to dress like that, fucking cool, man. Cool, do you? I just. And if it is genuinely authentic and the guy, like, isn't performing or whatever as an extra on The Bear, it gets shamed anyway. Just because it is perceived as, like, trying too hard or something. I don't get it. I don't get it, man. It's like the cringe, the people being so embarrassed about, like, being cringy or performing. Cause like this is bled over too into just the way that, like, I think in general men have started to dress with like the barrel jeans and carrying around the green matcha. I mean, I've seen videos and tweets and shit of people taking photos of people in public without their knowledge, which, hey, don't do that. Especially if you're just gonna fucking talk shit about strangers too. Not very cool. But reading in public, people making fun of like guys reading in public or wearing choker necklaces when like, I thought we were trying to break the stereotype and redefine what masculinity is, or that masculinity can be defined as fucking whatever you want, man. Now we're going to shame and make fun of these people and call them performative when they feel like dressing like that. And I think I've seen also the criticism that like the reason it's a problem is because they're dressing and doing those things just so they can pull women or whatever gender they think they will attract and are attracted to. And it's like men are problematic for a lot of reasons, but like, is this really one of them? Really? Like, what if they have a genuine interest in that, like, lifestyle? Why are we bullying them, essentially? I don't know, man. Also, how is it any different than, like, the stereotypical frat bro with a popped collar, with two popped collars, who's trying to attract the sorority sister, right? How is it any different than, like, 2000s vegan punks with a carabiner trying to attract other vegan punks, or the MySpace scene kids with the like shotgun blast, pink streaks in the hair, listening to The Locust? Like, as much as you are interested in that lifestyle or subculture or whatever, you want a partner or just, you know, a person that you maybe want to have sex with or maybe want to marry who's also into those things. So you're going to outwardly show and express that, right? Trying to be relatable to other human beings is now performative and cringe. It's so stupid. it's fucking dumb, dude. Like, every era has a look. Every subculture has a look. I think it just feels more obvious now because of social media trends that move so fast, you know? But we can't keep calling every fucking thing, everything, performative. We gotta stop. And I'm gonna be honest with you, everything is performative. I've mentioned Irving Goffman in like past videos, his book, The Preservation of Self in Everyday Life, where he talks about how we're all performing. Like, when we're in public, we act one way. When we're at home, we act another way. When we're here, when we're there, we're always acting differently for different purposes. But neither one is more real than the other. You know, every time you getting on the internet, you are performing. If you're posting anything on the internet, you're performing. If you're engaging with anything on the internet, you're performing. Do you think trolls who get in the comments and talk shit about other people would act the same way in real life in front of that person? Fucking nope. This is a performance. This is a portion of the real me, my opinions. But it's not fully me. I contain multitudes. You don't fucking know me. So, like, I don't know. I think that people, like, the again, this just reminds me of, like, trends, too, of, like, don't perceive me. I don't want to be perceived. It's like a perception of being self-aware, of someone being self-aware. You know, you're projecting it onto these guys because they've got the male manipulator outfit on or whatever the fuck. And I don't understand, like, what's the problem with wearing the baggy jeans or wearing stuff that other people find attractive, like clothing that other people find attractive, or reading like thoughtful, intellectual books, right? Like, I assume many women do want a guy who reads some feminist theory and has an understanding of the female experience, or the queer experience, or whatever it is, and wears clothes that they think are cute, and also orders the same kind of drink as them. There's something adorable about that, right? There's something somewhat romantic about that. For so long, women in general have been asking that men do their own fucking research and read a book every once in a while. And now, when some of them see men reading books on the subway or whatever, they're calling the fucking performative, performative. Or men, I mean, men also call out those guys as being fucking performative. You're just doing that for women. It's like, yeah. So? Who's getting laid out of the two of us? Probably the guy that's reading bell hooks. I think some of the people that are upset about the whole, like, anybody, not just men too, I want to be clear, anybody that's like is perceived as being performative, like, they don't want them to know that doing those things makes them attractive. What's that? Isn't there a One Direction song? You don't know you're beautiful, and that's what makes you beautiful. Fucking the last person you'd probably expect to quote One Direction. But there's like this illusion of authenticity that people are always putting on, even like with casual Instagram use, you know, it's fake. It's all fake. People made a conscious decision to post that video or take that photo to to the point, and I've talked about this in another video too, like the like how the culture and like social media use has shifted from the perfectly curated, you know, fucking hot dog knees photos that people posted, or the pulling like holding your hand as your partner pulls you kind of photos that are fucking edited all to hell in like Lightroom, to the more like, you know, random, that's so random, grainy 240p selfies or photos of a fucking pigeon on the side of the road. It's changed from the curated to the like authentic, but now we're seeing through the authentic and the effort that it takes that now looks like there's effort. It's a fucking Ouroboros, man. That's what I'm trying to say. It's an Ouroboros. Like, effortlessness has become cringe, and the cycle will eventually start over. We're going to bring back 2013's like Instagram posts where everybody wanted to live out of the back of a van and go camping in the woods. The fuck was that about? No, thank you. I'd like room service, please. I don't think that it's bad to try hard, but hyper-focusing on anything that even appears so is what's bad, especially when it's not someone trying hard. You know what all these people sound like? They sound like Holden Caulfield. You fucking phony. You sound like the guy from the book that is a red flag that men read, that then you don't date based on one book that they read. It could also be a lot worse, man. He's reading feminist theory on the F train. He could be reading Mein Kampf. Or a highlights. Like, at least he's trying to align with something that's like thoughtful and relatively progressive, regardless of if it's performative. I don't care. If there was a woman that was reading, I don't know, man. Well, fucking Tom Robbins, because that's one of my favorite authors, on a bus, I wouldn't look at that and go, pretty performative. How many people read Tom Robbins? She must know it's my favorite author. She's just doing it to get my attention. How fucking narcissistic and psychotic, dude. I think the real cringe thing is pretending like you're not also doing this at some point throughout the day. And the fact that the word performative has now become like a pejorative term is crazy. It's wild. Millennials are cringe. I mean, we are cringe. It's fine. We just need to accept. Jesus, what am I doing with my hair? We're cringe. It's fine. Just let people be cringe. Stop conflating cringe with like being performative, you know? Also, the stuff that we're judged for as being cringe, like Gen Z has brought back and made like cool, like low-rise jeans and like the entire 2000s aesthetic. You've gentrified this. You've caused this. You've made baggy JNCO jeans and painting your nails and wearing a choker cool. We didn't do that. I mean, I guess we kind of did. Maybe is that what the problem is? Is that you think we're biting your style when it's really you biting our style? I don't know, man. I'm an idiot. I don't know if this relates. I was thinking about this, and then I remembered seeing the other crazy. Okay, this is the thing that, boy oh boy, Greg Gutfeld. Anybody familiar with him? I think Fox News was trying to set him up as like their version of like I don't know, Jon Stewart and giving him a comedy news show, biggest fucking air quotes in the world. So his show is like the right wing version of, you know, The Daily Show, which is, that's generous. I think that's even generous. He should be doing that show on fucking YouTube next to Ben Shapiro. But there was a segment that was going around recently, again, just the other day, in a week full of horrific, weird things. He tried to make the comparison that the N-word is to black communities as Nazi is to the right-wingers. I don't want to call it a community. I know it is, but I don't know. It feels like it gives it too much credence. And saying that we should just reclaim Nazi. We should reclaim the word Nazi. He also said some crazy, just like out of touch, out of date shit. Like he said, because he's talking about like reclaiming it, right? And he says at one point, we need to learn from the blacks. Yikes. And then they proceed to go on like they start riffing, man, because they're comedy fucking geniuses. And they're making comparisons like on how to use it in what are, I think, generally associated with like as black phrases, as black community, like black. Jesus, now I sound maybe kind of racist. But inserting it into phrases where the N-word is usually used, like "What up, my Nazi?" Nazi, please. It's just like not how that works. You can do it. He did it. I'm just paraphrasing, by the way. I'm just quoting what he said. So nobody fucking come after me. But a little history lesson. The N-word is a slur. Nazi, not a slur. Like, these people are so dumb or willfully ignorant that they don't want to accept that the N-word is not, it's not like a fun, I mean, it is now, but it wasn't historically. It has been reclaimed because it was a word used to dehumanize black people based on their race, which is something you don't get to change or decide to be. But you can choose to be a Nazi. That's a choice. That's different. Like, initially, people weren't calling the Nazis because they thought it was, oh, it's going to fucking hurt their feelings if I called. They called themselves that from the beginning, dude. And they also probably used whatever the German equivalent of the N-word was while murdering millions of people. It's not the same. It's a political identity that's, again, rooted in genocide and racism and white supremacy. You can't swap that out with the N-word of all things. Insane. Also, they're just openly admitting that, like, yeah, we're Nazis. Yeah, we're racist, genocidal lunatics who are probably also anti-Semites, even though they'll probably go on their shows and say and also be Islamophobic to justify their being, well, the Jews are good, but then in the same breath say some wildly anti-Semitic shit. So that's the part of United States history that we're in, is white supremacists actively just being like, yeah, we're Nazis, fuck it, who cares? Tired of hiding, tired of denying it and asking you stop calling us Nazis. Yeah, we're Nazis. We are. But they're not, it's not reclaiming it. It's just them admitting that they are and have always been that. It's different still. I mean, him using the term the blacks is, I can't believe it. I mean, I can, but like, I don't want to. You know what I mean? It's like calling somebody, it's like calling like the LGBTQ community, just, or a gay person, or it, 'cause it's not even really about, it doesn't even address the humanity, like that there is a person, right? Who has these characteristics. It would be like saying the gays, but like in that tone, you know what I mean? Like instead of saying, oh, that person, they're Jewish, it'd be like, yeah, they're a Jew. It'd be like, it's like that. You can't do that. Don't do that. And again, this is a hyperbolic scenario to prove a point. That's not how I talk to people. And I'm only saying it now, again, with giant air quotes around my head. So yeah, I mean, it's problematic for a couple of reasons, I guess. To like, really, let's break it down, is the sheer amount of just like logical fallacies that exist within that whole segment on Gutfeld's show. Obviously it's a false equivalence, right? Pretending like the two things are like when they are not like or comparable. I mean, it's also kind of like trying to, in a way, like erase history, specifically around like what the term Nazi is, like what a Nazi is, by misrepresenting them. And like, it's just, there's so many things. All in service of like a punchline that's edgy but unfunny. And again, even that is in service of like fucking owning the libs. This is gonna piss off the libs, dude, if I say what up, my Nazi. Like, I don't even think he thinks that it's that funny. I think it's literally, and this goes for all of these conservative type people who think they're fucking smarter and funnier than they are. Most of the time, whatever they're saying, whether they're trying to be funny or make a point, it's all so single-minded in like, we gotta own those fucking far-right, leftist, communist, fascist vegans. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. What up, my Nazi? Like, these people are not the victims. Like, saying, like, oh, we should gotta reclaim the word Nazi. They're also doing that because, like, they think, or just say, because somebody else told them to think and say these things, that, like, they're the victim in all of this stuff. Fucking free, my free speech is being infringed upon. You can't say anything anymore. Superman, he's fucking woke. I hated that movie, and saying I hated it, fucking, oh, you're trying to censor me, dude. But it always also comes down to like them thinking that they're the persecuted ones. And so when they see, like, you know, like the black community reclaiming the word Nazi, or the gay community reclaiming the word, the F word. I almost said it. Ooh. But when they see those communities reclaiming these words that have historically been used to dehumanize them, and they think that they're also being dehumanized and persecuted, they think that that then gives them the right to do the same thing, but with a word that they just are and have always been. It's extremely disingenuous. I put this on Threads the other day. I just made a post that just said, the silent majority sure is loud as fuck. And it's these people. These people. Shut the fuck up. You know, there's that Bo Burnham bit where he's sitting on the stool and inside and he's just saying, like, can anyone anywhere just shut the fuck up? I think I would like to amend that to, can any right-wing Republican GOP member anywhere just shut the fuck up for any amount of time? Do we need your bad jokes? Do we need your, you know, constant complaining about how fucking I'm being persecuted? White people are the most persecuted group of people on the planet. Even though we're also the majority. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. They all have, all of these right-wing lunatics have an oppression kink. I also think it's funny too that these people like Greg Gutfeld and Ben Shapiro and who's the other one that was like, he tried to be a stand-up comic and failed. They all come from like a failed arts background because their thoughts are bad. And like the moment they get a platform or an opportunity to like jump back into that, oh, maybe Fox will give me the Daily Show equivalent and I can test out those jokes that didn't work 20 years ago on some basement comedy show. But all they've got is being edgy and saying offensive shit. They're not culturally savvy at all. So I just think it happens time and time again. These people were rejected by whatever they would have preferred to be doing. And now it's just a grift. It's just co-opting the power of linguistics from a group that Greg, I'm a Nazi, Gutfeld doesn't respect or understand or care to understand. Like, they're not reclaiming anything. He's just revealing how out of touch and bitter he is. Because he knows deep down that he's not an oppressed person. He knows that. They all do. They're just assholes. Those were kind of all the things I wanted to talk about. I had way more notes that made this look like it was going to be a longer episode, but I am hungry, so maybe it is time for me to just go. I didn't even check to see if I had any questions. Hang on, let me pause the recording. I almost forgot. I have this question thing that you can go submit questions and suggest content that I look at or topics to discuss. So I'm going to go through some of those really quick. I just skimmed over them. There's a couple in here that stand out to me. The first being this from Anonymous, for reasons that will become obvious. On my 23rd birthday, I hooked up with a guy named Beef. Hell yeah, dude. Guy sounds awesome. And then subsequently shit my pants. My birthday gift that year was learning that everyone has a story that involves shitting themselves. What's yours? That's horrifying. Where did you shit your pants? Where were you? You hooked up with Beef and then made your own beef. I want more details, but I don't want more details, obviously. But I do want to know, in the bed, standing up, in the bathroom, were you cleaning yourself off? Why? Why all of a sudden did the urge to shit after sex hit you? Was it that bad? If sex is so bad, can you just spontaneously shit? Is that what happened here? I mean, you fucked a guy named Beef. So it could have been. Or was his name just lingering in your head and that made you gross and then your tummy got upset and then you shit? I do have a shitting my pants story. I have two. God, should I put these on the internet forever? Okay, I'll tell the first shitting my pants story because it's a little more innocent. I was in middle school, I think, and I was on lunch. And we were sitting at the lunch table having our, I don't know what it was, slop. Which is not what made me shit my pants because it had just entered my body. And I remember sitting there with some friends and somebody made me laugh so hard that I shit. My laugh made me shit. My stomach, you know when you laugh really hard and your abs just... I think that went straight to my asshole and I shit my pants and immediately stopped laughing. That ended the good times that we were having. And I excused myself quietly, went to the bathroom, took off my underwear in the bathroom in middle school, threw them the fuck away. Or did I throw them away? Or I must have thrown them away. That or I... God, being this old, I'm getting... I think this is what dementia feels like. I feel like maybe I took them home for some reason and hid them and washed them maybe, or I threw them out at home. I don't remember, but I had to wear, I had to go, what's it called? Commando the rest of the day, which is like, I guess it's only two more periods, two more classes, until I got home. And I think that maybe was the beginning of my aversion to not wearing underwear all the time. I don't know. I don't understand people who can wear no underwear with their pants. It feels awful. Feels bad, man. So that was the first time I remember shitting my pants. I'm sure I shit my pants before that when I was even younger, because I don't know if you guys know this, but I used to be a toddler and I used to be a baby who shit probably all the time. I mean, definitely all the time, not probably. What a crazy, insane thing to say. So that's my shitting my pants story. I'm not going to tell you the other one because it's kind of embarrassing. And I was much, much older. It's been over a decade since that one. So I was in my 20s. But I guess it's been maybe like 14 years. I feel like I was like 24 the last time I shit my pants like that. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you about that one yet. Ask me again in 6 months. Maybe I'll forget about this episode and I'll tell you about me shitting my pants 14 years ago. What's another question here? Did I have a tumbler? Yes, I did. I had multiple tumblers. I didn't use it enough to stay up on the Tumblr lore and the trending Tumblr trends that were happening. There were like Tumblr power users, and I could never understand how you figure out who to follow on there. Because there wasn't like a great way to figure out like what were the ones you should follow. I just posted pretty pictures that I found. I can't remember. It had some embarrassing name that I do remember, but I do not want to say out loud either, because that's just as embarrassing as the most recent time that I shit my pants. So, but I had multiple tumblers. And I just like tried to curate like a cool, basically like before Pinterest was a thing, create like a mood board of like moody images, moody, cool photos, man, and hot babes but like artfully done. You know what I mean? That was my Tumblr career. Embarrassing. Let's see. Some of these are really long, and I'm sorry. I didn't screen these beforehand, so I'm not going to read these all out loud. Has anyone ever told you that you look like a mix between Matt Damon and Elden Henson and maybe Chris Pine? I don't know who Elden Henson is. As I've gotten older, the Matt Damon thing makes more sense. I've gotten Chris Pine in the past. Thank you, Simone. I think I have generic white guy face. I have square head white guy face. So you can superimpose pretty much any celebrity that's a white man with this head shape, and I'm gonna look like him. I don't know if I would say, it's my superpower, looking like average white men. But it's a compliment. I like Chris Pine. He's a pretty cool guy. He seems chill. I want his whole wardrobe, which I feel like I've said in one of these videos or on a, probably not on a podcast episode, but I know I've said it on the internet somewhere. Speaking of hot white dudes, hot white celebrity men, I just watched an interview with Lee Pace on Seth Meyers, and god damn, he is a specimen, isn't he? He's just so cool, and I want to be like him when I grow up. Man, that Lee Pace, huh? What a way to end this podcast. Me fawning over Lee Pace. Well, I hoped you enjoyed this, and I hope I didn't sound like a total moron talking about, you know, performative men, and, you know, trying to reclaim the N-word for white people, for Greg Gutfeld. Thanks again for sticking around and listening to me yap for just under an hour. I am working on another video right now that'll be about my sobriety again. I found another way to kind of talk about that. It's been a minute, and it's also, I've been sober for like 5 years. So maybe it'll be kind of like, it'll be an early sober anniversary video. I'm talking to another creator to try and figure out if maybe they want to jump on and chat. But man, am I bad at OBS and figuring out how to record two sources of video and audio on basically a video call. But I will figure it out, and hopefully we can make that happen. I started a few weeks ago, and I just took another look at it. So I'm getting through it a little bit, trying to formulate what the fuck the point of it is. You know what I mean? What the fuck? What's the point of any of this stuff? So thanks to everybody that watched the last video. Make sure if you are watching them, make sure you share them, tag me and stuff. It really helps the channel out to get other people aware that I'm doing stuff. You know, in that weird place, in that weird just under 50,000 subscriber hell. That Sabrina Carpenter podcast episode, by the way, a little inside baseball for everybody. A lot of people did not like that. They did not give a fuck about me talking about Sabrina Carpenter. So I was like losing and gaining and losing subscribers. I haven't moved. I haven't seen any growth basically in like a fucking month. But I'm not going to stop talking about stuff I want to talk about. And sometimes it's going to be about Sabrina Carpenter. You know? is that too desperate and pathetic for me to say? I don't care. Thanks so much for listening. If you're just listening to the audio, thanks so much for watching on YouTube. And I don't think I've come up with a way to end the podcast episodes besides saying I love you. And these will never be consistent.